We're continuing our look at Titanic on Hearsay today. It's the subject of a movie that's taking the country by storm, but as we're learning today, the event itself has become part of our culture, giving us such notable historical figures as the unsinkable Molly Brown. But there are lesser-known stories as well, like the one you're about to hear, which has a very special Hampton Roads connection. We're very grateful to be able to share with you today a recording from the 1940s on a program called Ripley's Believe It or Not. The interviewer is none other than George Ripley himself, and the subject of his interview is a survivor of the Titanic. The recording is a bit scratchy, but I invite you to ignore the sound quality and focus instead on the story of a woman who thought she lost her baby that fateful night in 1912.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present Miss Leah Ash.
Good evening, Mr. Ripley.
Mrs. Ash, I realize it's very difficult for you to speak of this terrible experience, but won't you try to tell us what happened after you saw your baby thrown into the sea?
I was pushed into a lifeboat, and we drifted around in the open sea for 7 hours.
You drifted around in the Atlantic in an open lifeboat for 7 hours before you were rescued?
Yes, that's right. But I didn't care whether I was rescued or not. My baby was gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am sure that you can well imagine how Mrs. Ash felt after that horrible ordeal. But what followed was even more amazing. 4 days after she was rescued by the SS Carpathia, Mrs. Ash was carried out on deck together with other Titanic survivors. And now, Mrs. Ash, won't you tell us what happened then?
As I sat on the deck in a half-dazed condition, I suddenly heard a baby cry. I looked up. Near me was a woman with an infant in her arms. As I looked, the baby stretched its arms out to me.
And was it your baby?
Yes, it was.
That was a miracle.
The woman told me that she sits in a drifting lifeboat in the water when the baby fell straight into her lap.
You mean that your baby, after having been snatched from your arms and thrown overboard, fell into a woman's lap without being hurt?
You can see for yourself, for that baby is standing beside me now. Mr. Ripley, meet my son, Frank.
How do you do, Mr. Ripley?
How do you do, Frank? I suppose you don't remember much about this terrible experience, do you?
No, I was only 10 months old at that time.
Tell me, Frank, since that time, have you ever met the woman who saved your life?
No, sir. We completely lost track of her. My mother suffered a nervous collapse after that ordeal. I was in the hospital 11 months. I've often wondered who that woman was and where she is.
Ladies and gentlemen, if that woman is listening in now, or if anyone knows of her whereabouts, I would appreciate it very much if they would write me a letter, which I will forward to Mr. Ash.
Thank you, Mr. Ripley. I would certainly love to hear from her.
I'd be awfully happy to meet her again soon, Mr. Ripley.
I know you will. And thank you, Mrs. Ash, and thank you, Frank. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a miraculous story of the Titanic disaster. A baby, torn from his mother's arms by a maniac, was thrown into the sea, and by a fantastic stroke of luck, the baby fell into the lap of a woman seated in a drifting lifeboat below. And 4 days later, that baby, whom the mother had given up as dead, was restored to his mother's arms, unharmed. Believe it or not.
What an amazing recording. Joining our conversation now is Roberta Binder. She is the granddaughter of Leah Ash, and she and her family live in Norfolk. Welcome. It's so nice to meet you, and great to have you here today to unpack this story even more for us.
Thank you very much.
This recording is incredible. This baby just yanked from your grandmother's arms. Now, did she know at that point that he was being put on a lifeboat or
no,
what?
She didn't. As far, you know, everyone was crazed. Everyone was, she said, yelling and screaming, and someone grabbed my uncle from her arms. He was wrapped in a shawl that came from a very prominent person, a Mrs. Astor. And after he was wrapped in the shawl, he was just like thrown overboard, she said.
Unbelievable.
And she thought he was dead. She really didn't think he had survived.
And then she gets on to the Carpathia.
She gets onto the Carpathia, and it was much later, a day, 2 days, or whatever, how many days it was, but I really can't get that straight. She heard a baby cry, and she turned around, and my Uncle Philip had his arm stretched out to her because she was still breastfeeding him, and he knew that was his mother.
And amazing. I mean, can you imagine what was also going through that child's mind, too? And you wonder how much they're able to take in. But here this woman who had been so much a part of his life is gone, and there she is again. And
right. And the woman that caught him was prepared, I'm sure, to keep him because she thought his family was gone. And
now she, but so when your grandmother went up to her and said, "That's my baby," what happens then?
Well, can I tell you, as I told you before?
Please.
Well, the woman that was holding my uncle was an older Catholic woman, and she had a black shawl and a big cross on, and she was going to keep Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother said, "You can't. That's my baby, and I can prove it because we're Jewish, and Philip was circumcised." And they took his diaper off right there, and that was that, and Philip went on with my grandmother.
Oh, isn't that incredible? And the woman probably wasn't meaning
No, she was not meaning to keep him. She really thought that he was an orphan child.
Unbelievable. And it was interesting because when they did the interview that we just heard, they talk about a birthmark and not a circumcision.
Right.
So it's a different day and a different time.
Right. And I believe on the Robert Ripley record that they look for that woman to thank her many times over, but they never did find her.
Mm. And the lives of so many people were changed that night. And what is interesting to me about your family is that you had stories of this sort of indomitable courage that happened even before the Titanic. I'm thinking about Leah Ack's husband and what happened with him.
Oh, well, he was a young man, and he wanted to leave London, and I think really probably to get away from my grandmother's family, perhaps, and to start a new life for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He was a very interesting, talented man. He had many facets to his life.
And had walked across Poland as a child.
10 years old with an older brother. They had walked across Poland to London when he was 10. My grandmother was 5 when her family went to London.
And so they get together in London, not in Poland.
That's right, in London.
And he was not on the ship.
No, he had come to America to make a home,
mm-hmm.
and her parents would not let her go while she was pregnant. She had to wait, and of course, come on the Titanic.
Unbelievable. So take us, give us the sense of the next couple of years. What happens to your grandmother after that?
Well, my grandmother, I was suffering, I would say, a shock for a while. And she recovered and had my mother a little over a year later. And she named my mother Sarah Carpathia after the ship that saved her. She went all through school and nursing school. And on her marriage certificate, her name is Sarah Carpathia. But interestingly enough, when my parents went to Europe after they were married, they wrote to Richmond for a copy of their birth certificate for their passport. And lo and behold, her birth certificate comes back Sarah Titanic.
Oh my goodness.
So that was only one of many little things that happened in the family.
So that, even there, it has such an impact in your family.
Yes, it does.
So this story that has so captured the public's imagination ever since it occurred is really a very fundamental part of your family's history.
Absolutely. All of the grandchildren wrote about it in school. I don't know what we would have done through high school, even in college. And my grandmother and grandfather traveled the world over talking to people about this. They even went to Hollywood.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but as I don't think anything was ever filmed or done about it. Mm. After all, they were third class, my grandmother and my uncle, when they came. And I think there are very few third-class people who survived. They were very fortunate. My grandmother was very tiny and very pretty, and she always told me that one of the crewmen took pity on her and literally leaned over a gate that had locked the third-class people below, yes, and picked her up, she and the baby, at one time. And that's how she survived. She was very fortunate.
Yeah. And you have seen the movie, Titanic.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of
did you go did you go right away? What are you thinking as you're walking
into this movie? Well, I actually went three different times because I went to see it at the Commodore and the lines were so long I had to wait.
Now, you should have you should have had the opportunity to go to the front of the line, I think, don't you?
Well, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at all.
So, what are your feelings as you're standing in line waiting to see this movie about something that's so much a part of your life?
Well, I found it very interesting because I think that it showed people exactly what happened when the iceberg hit the boat, mm-hmm, and how it filled up section by section.
Well, and your point about your grandmother being in third class. That was so poignantly dramatized in the film.
It was. And it happened very much like that, mm-hmm, very much like that. If this young man, if this deckhand had not taken pity on her, she would not have survived, mm-hmm, really. Mm. And it was a very glamorous love story. And, you know, it was fun.
I'm amazed, though, that it is true what they say about fact being stranger than fiction in a lot of ways, because some of the stories like the one that you're telling and some of the other stories of survivors seem just as compelling as this one that's a fictional account.
Right. Well, I think that in the movie they concentrated on first and second class people, and so I'm sure that all of the third class people who survived, and I think there were only a handful,
mm-hmm,
had equally, you know, compelling stories to tell.
So when is your earliest memory of having been told this story? What's the first time you remember, my goodness, this is an incredible thing?
Well, I was 6 years old when my grandmother went to talk to Robert Ripley. Mm. And then thereafter, I remember her going to Hollywood. And, I mean, it was just always a part of our family. She couldn't get away from it.
And you, of course, did she ever want to get away from it? I'm wondering.
I think she secretly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she would say enough is enough, you know.
Yeah.
But my grandfather liked it.
I'll bet. I mean, gosh, to have a wife who's a celebrity like that, that's pretty neat. But it really did. We should not minimize the emotional toll that it took on the survivors, because it was very significant.
Well, it did take an emotional toll on my grandmother. I think that for the first few years when she was here in Norfolk, she had to start a new life. She was away from her parents. She was very young. She did, however, travel back and forth to London many times because, mm-hmm, her family is still there.
By ship?
By ship. By ship.
Did she ever have any fear or qualms about getting on another ship after this experience?
I'm sure she did. She never said anything to me. Her son, however, who was born after my mother, is a dentist, and he was in the Second World War, and he was on three different ships that were torpedoed. So he did something very much like this in Washington a couple of weeks ago,
uh-huh,
on the radio.
Yeah.
And he says he doesn't think anyone in the Axe family should go on a ship.
I was just going to say, cruising is not a good thing for you to consider.
No.
I'm thinking a flying vacation for you. What about your own, the family that comes after you? Does it still continue to be a part of,
absolutely,
of the legacy?
I'm now 63. I'm married, and I have two grown daughters. Lisa's 40, and Shelley is 39. And they're interested in it, and I have two grandchildren, 11 and 10, and they've been writing reports about it. And my other cousins who live away, I mean, it's all very...
Sure.
As a matter of fact, we are going to the last dinner at the Manners Museum, and we're going to dress in costume.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And it's just... it really is a big part of our lives.
I can certainly appreciate that.
I think that because of the movie, that the general public, you know, keeps, mm-hmm, talking about,
yeah,
it. But
what do you think it is that the public is so fascinated with about this story? Because truly, there have been other stories of tragedy in our history. What do you think it is about this one that so captivates us?
Well, I think it caught people's fancy. I think that if you probably could equate it to Princess Diana's death, why is one person or one thing? I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain mystique.
Yeah.
And
I guess the fact there were so many people of that time who were so famous caught in this one ship with these people in third class. You know, that's the amazing part of it.
But
to me,
you know, somebody mentioned to me the wealth,
yeah,
that went down on that ship at the time. It was just astronomical. Even my grandmother, who came from a fairly well-to-do family, traveled with sets of Minton china and silverware and all kinds of fine linens, and you know they're down there in the bottom of the ocean.
I wonder how you feel then as you look at some of the artifacts that are coming up out of the depths, and I wonder if you have any thoughts about the propriety of plumbing those depths and bringing those artifacts to the surface.
Oh, I think they should just leave them alone myself. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Although I'd love to have that necklace.
I'm sure of it. You and lots of other people.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Roberta Binder, for being with us today. It's a fascinating story, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
And if you ever want to see any more family pictures and things, I'll be glad to bring them for
you.
Boy,
you have family pictures that beat most of ours, that's for sure. Well, and you're going to the special event at the Mariners where you're going to go
Museum.
In costume and recreate that last dinner.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go see the movie next week again just to make sure I get the right kind of dress.
You're all fixed up just so. Very good. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment, and in fact, we will talk with someone at the Mariners Museum about that event. We're back in a moment.